The book of Mark, chapter 14. And we're going to start reading from verse 32. That's Mark 14, beginning with verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto them, "Peter, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, unless ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." I want to preach a message with that singular word out of verse 36 of Mark chapter 14 with the title, "Nevertheless." Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning to bring glory to the name of your Son. We come to be edified by the power of your Spirit. Father, let these things be accomplished. Let them be done. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Of course, if anyone's read their Bible before, they understand this passage of Scripture is talking about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right before his passion the next day. In fact, they would take him from this place and judge him and eventually hang him on a cross. But what I want to get out of this passage of Scripture is the faith of Jesus and how we can have the faith of Jesus. I think he teaches a lot about faith here, maybe elements of faith that we haven't considered. And you may say, "Well, I don't understand your subject," but you will. Because we have to look at what Jesus did to know what we should do. We have to look at how Jesus thought to know what we should think. We should look at the life of Jesus and learn from him. Not that there aren't other examples, and there are, but all of them were like Jesus if they brought the same results. Simply put, he is praying a prayer here. Within his prayer is a great deal of sincerity and a great deal of faith. Many people think that they note maybe a kind of weakness or doubt in Jesus when he's praying this prayer. That's why I want to read the prayer and then maybe help you to understand to the best of the ability of the Holy Spirit so that you walk out of here ultimately with greater faith than what you came in with. My job is, number one, to bring glory to Jesus. In other words, give him all the praise and glory for all that is done in here or in our lives. And the second thing is to build your faith so you can trust him and you can follow him. And then you'll definitely love him. But let's look at this prayer. He told his disciples to sit while he goes and prays. And he says in his prayer, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." He wanted them to stay there and pray. But his soul's exceeding sorrowful. What Jesus is beginning to experience is the weight of what must be done to redeem humanity. He's been beginning to, since the time was nigh, beginning to really consider it, that this is death to the one who is life itself. That's a total contradiction. So for him to say that should teach the body of Christ not to be going around and naming and claiming things, for one thing. And the other thing is we should not be denying how we actually feel. We should not deny what we actually want when we take our prayers to the Lord. Many people won't pray for their sickness because they say, well, Jesus already took care of that, so I don't have to pray about it. Well, now, if you don't pray it, you won't receive it, because he says, ask and ye shall receive, right? And the Word of God says that we are to that we don't receive because we don't pray. So the Lord is not telling you not to bring your gripes, your hurtful feelings, your pain, and your sorrow to him. He's not saying anything like that. But many Christians have been taught to deny those things. Jesus is not denying this. He is exceedingly sorrowful. He is going to face the cross. He knows what it means. It means death. The very thing he came to conquer. He would have to die as the perfect sacrifice so that everyone living who would ultimately die would have a chance at this life, this eternal life through him, right? But that doesn't mean that this wasn't a heavy weight. It doesn't mean that it didn't affect him even to his emotions. But some people will say that he wavers here, but he doesn't. Listen to what this says. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground. It means he fell on the ground over and over again. And prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now listen to what he says here. If it were possible, he wanted this hour to pass from him. If it were possible, he wanted this cup taken away. The hour was the hour of suffering. He knew that he'd have to pay that price. So what does he say? He says to his father, I know that that's what will take sin away, but if there's another way to take sin away, would it be possible to do it another way? So the answer to this prayer is really that there is no other way. This is the only way. And what that tells us as believers, there's only one way. So through this prayer, we learn to reject those false doctrines that teach any other way. It's one way, and it's through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And we learn that even from his prayer. If it's possible, take this cup from me. If it's possible, take this hour away from me. And what's it tell us? It just tells us that the truth is, in the body of Christ, it's been taught wrong. We can ask for another way. But what he's really saying is, Lord, I want to know definitively, is this your way? Is this the only way? And of course, the answer is clear. It's the only way. It's the only way to salvation. It's the only way to divine healing. It's the only way to receive the blessings of God, the grace of God. It's the only way. So is this so much for Jesus himself or for the whole world to realize, if I'm going to be delivered, it must be by Jesus? The doctors ultimately cannot help you. I experienced that with my brother in the hospital. The doctor came in. He knew my brother was dying. And he says, there's only so much that the medical community can do. And that's correct. There's only so much that mankind can do. But then Jesus brings up the point, But you can do anything. There is nothing that's impossible with you. And I'm kind of wondering if we've got this, our priorities backward, our plans, our procedures backward. Well, we'll run to the doctor first to have something taken care of, and then we pray about it, if we pray about it at all. Hoping that the doctor will fix every problem you ever have. The doctor doesn't have all the answers. In other words, they're also bad doctors, so. But I know somebody who has all of your answers. I know somebody who can take care of you. I know somebody who can perform miracles and can heal divinely and can change your life and save your soul and plant your feet that were heading to hell on streets of gold in heaven. I know somebody who can do that. But he does it through the sacrifice. He does it through what he did on the cross of Calvary. And you may think he just went to the cross to pay for your sins. No, he paid to open up heaven and give you all the blessings of God, not just salvation of your soul. Amen. He's the way into heaven. He's the way of reconciliation with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And of course, he being God himself. Amen. But he says it like this: all things are possible. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. So this is teaching us a huge lesson. I remember just recently taking recent experiences. I was praying for my brother to be healed. I wanted him healed. It was possible. He could be healed, well, not by anything the doctor can do. They admittedly told me that very thing. But I knew Jesus could heal him even there in that hospital bed. So I prayed for healing. But in the back of my mind, I was always saying, nevertheless, what you will, let that be done. Not what I will. And when we pray that kind of prayer, we learn to submit our will to God. I'm not telling you you're accepting defeat. I'm not telling you you have any form of doubt by saying, Lord, this is what I want, but let your will be done. The Bible's very clear. If we pray according to his will, we will have answers to all of those prayers. And when I finally saw that the Lord wasn't going to heal him, I began to pray, then save him, Lord. Then save him. Save his soul. Don't let him leave this hospital bed and go to any other place but glory. Any other place but into your presence and forever. I remember laying there, we began to play some gospel songs. He could mouth them, but he couldn't hardly speak. You could hear grunts here, but you could hear and see affirmations of acceptance of a message in those songs, and then what we would minister to him through the word. You would see it. He was definitely accepting Jesus Christ at that time. So my prayer initially was for him to be healed because I want him still to be here. And that's how we really feel about all of our loved ones generally, I think. Lord, leave him here. I want to be with my loved ones. If it could be, I want to be with them forever and ever right here. But I know that's not God's plan. You don't want to see your loved ones buried in a grave. But you have the hope of the resurrection. So don't lose your hope in God. Because God chooses to take them instead of leave them. Don't ever lose your faith in the Lord. It's that type of submission of your will to the will of God that is a part of the prayers of the saints who gets answers to their prayers. In God's infinite wisdom, he knew my brother would be a much happier person walking on streets of gold instead of being wheeled around in a wheelchair. He knew he'd be much happier drinking of rivers from living waters. Ye would be so much happier in the glory and the presence of God forever and ever than to be in a nursing home, to be in a hospital, or to be anywhere else. And God says it's time. My brother was 66 years old. And what I found out, it took him 66 years to get saved. It took him 66 years to get saved. And right before the Lord took him, he took him saved. He got him saved and he took him. And I told you in the eulogy these very words. I said, I sat there and I wondered after he passed away, after the Lord took him home. I wondered what he was doing right now. But I didn't wonder where he was. Because I know anyone who submits to God's will receive his glorious promises every time. It's getting us to submit to his will that sometimes takes a very, very long time. Generally, we are focused on self. We are focused on our own desires. Instead of focusing ourselves on the Lord, where the Bible says that you're at perfect peace if you stay your eyes upon the Lord. We lose perfect peace by looking inward to ourselves instead of looking outward to Jesus. And in fact, when you're saved, he's in there too. If you are going to look inward, don't look inward to self, but look inward to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in you. You now house the Holy Spirit. That was a promise of God, so he is not just with you, he is in you. You don't have to go very far to talk to God if he's in you. You don't have to go very far for the answers you need in life. Amen. But let me tell you, just so you understand, that if we submit our wills to God and we pray, thy will be done, not mine, knowing that you could do anything, know this, he will always do the right thing. He will always do the best thing. He will always do that which is perfect, for he is perfect. You don't have to worry and you don't have to doubt because the outcome wasn't exactly what you wanted. If you pray with faith, it was the right outcome. God takes care of it. God will take care of it. In other words, that's what trust means. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to believe. But I know this much, I believe in you. I believe that when I pray, you answer. And I believe that the answer that comes is the answer you want. So I can have my faith in you when things are going good, and I can have my faith in you when things are going bad, knowing that in the end, it will always be good. The Bible says a person described as such is a person that loves God. Doesn't let the trials and tribulations of life change their direction. It doesn't let the trials and tribulations of our lives change our hope, our faith in God, our trust in him. In other words, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can change our faith but ourselves. I give you this element of faith, which I call nevertheless. I give that to you today to help you understand. If you didn't get exactly what you want, God answered your prayer. He gave you what you really needed. I wanted my brother to be with me. Jesus wanted him to be in heaven. Guess who won that battle? And I'm glad for it. I'm glad he's not here anymore. I really am, because I know where he is. I'm glad he's not with me, but I'm also glad and more glad that he is with Jesus. Let God determine your future. Let him show you the way. Jesus is right. There might have been other ways, but his Father had determined that there's only one way that would satisfy all justice. Only one way to pay for every sin. He knew that Jesus hanging on the cross would silence Satan forever and ever. Satan would never have a claim on you again as long as you look to the cross. He knew it. He knew it. Any other way Satan might have claimed that it was injustice what God had just done. But he couldn't say that when that perfect sacrifice hung on the cross and said it is finished. And that perfect sacrifice was buried and raised from the dead. All claims of Satan were settled. Then all victory belongs to you. And when the word of God says, ask and ye shall receive, just believe it. You're going to receive what you're asked if you ask in faith and you ask according to the will of God. Sometimes we want more of what we want than what God wants for us. The Lord will break you of that. He's going to give you one of those nevertheless faiths. Let thy will be done, not mine. He wants to give you that kind of faith today. So if you ask for healing and you haven't been healed yet, you keep for asking until God gives you his decision or God tells you what his will is in it. When you're asking for something that doesn't seem like you receive it, don't believe for one second he hasn't heard you. The Bible says that if we know that he hears our prayer, we know we have an answer to it. So if you're praying for something, you don't know what God's going to do. He will let you know what to believe. And when you believe it, it's as good as done. See, prayer must be centered in the will of God. Your faith is in the center of the will of God. When we find that, we find all answers to every prayer. We find all of our needs are met. And we find out that the storms that he brought us through were necessary. The enemies that rose up against us, they were necessary. And all the times we seemed to suffer, we seemed to struggle, they were all part of his plan, because they were all meant to bring us to a point in time where we would trust Jesus fully and trust him completely, and our faith and hope would be in him unwaveringly. And now he's got something he can work with. Can you imagine if Abraham would not have taken his son to sacrifice him? Even though God stayed him, God tested him. And don't you know, much of what is done today is a test to you. It's a test of your faith in Christ, your trust in the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you ask for something and you're not getting it right away, keep asking. But once God says something or responds to you, you know he's heard you, no need to ask from that point on, just start believing. Start trusting. Don't go to God and tell him what to do. Have him tell you what to do or what he's going to do for you. Do not pre-plan what God, his response is going to be to your prayer. When you go to the Lord, Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. Tell him how you feel. And then say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Because, see, the Lord can deliver you from the fire. He can deliver you before you even go into it. Or he can deliver you in it. But he will always deliver you through it. Amen? You have nothing to fear. Your trust should be solely placed in him. That no matter what is happening to you in your life, as long as you're faithful to him, as long as you have hope in him, he's working everything out. He's working it out. One thing God doesn't do, he doesn't tell you his entire plan for you as an individual. He wants you just to trust him that he can get it done. And then he'll bring you to crossroads where you make a decision. Mostly the crossroad is, I'm going to make a left in doubt, or I'm going to make a right and trust God. Amen. And straight is you doing your own thing. And the Lord's bringing us to a point of decision today. Are we going to believe him without reservation? Are we going to believe him, whether we're in the fire or we're not in the fire, or we're in the flood or we're not in the flood? The storms are brewing. The storms are threatening to destroy us. Are we going to trust him to still the storms or deliver us from those storms? Are we? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The altar is open for you.